Okay.
I'm Miriam. I'm a codependent sex, love, and fantasy addict. Very grateful to be in this room with people who I shared recovery with when I lived on this side of town. I came to this meeting very, very regularly, and I love the energy in this room. I will briefly qualify why I had to come to these rooms, because I find this part of my story at this stage in recovery to be just so boring. And I hate like even talking about it anymore because it feels so far away, and that is truly a miracle. I was entwined, enmeshed in a very toxic dynamic with a man for 6 years. That was a very textbook like avoidant and anxious attachment style, where I was, you know, grasping and longing and eating breadcrumbs and calling them 5-course meals, and there was a man who kept me at arm's length, would reel me in when he needed something, and anytime I felt, you know, dismissed or disappointed or angry, rejected, I would search for that to fill that void through other people. And I, it only took, it took working the steps diligently and very thoroughly to see my part in all of that behavior and all of those dynamics. And I shared in this room, as a fellow reminded me, that I came to understand that I was also a predator. I came into these rooms in the very beginning, which at this point, 6 years ago, I came into these rooms thinking that I was the victim, that, you know, my qualifier was this like horrible, narcissistic, abusive person, and I just needed to figure out how to love him better. Because if I just learned how to love him the way he needed to be loved, we would finally be the couple that I had always imagined we could be, and life would be perfect. Spoiler alert, that did not happen. I continued to engage with that person for 9 months while in recovery. My sponsor, God bless her, is a very patient woman, and every time I would call to complain about this person, would remind me that going no contact was always an option. And I refused for months. I held on so tightly with that self-will of finding a way to make it work. And then God did for me what I was just clearly not willing or capable of doing for myself. We had a pandemic, and I stopped hearing from that person. And normally my pattern was to like re-engage and re-entangle and find ways to just like keep it going, and that really wasn't an option. And by that point, I had done enough work in this program to realize like what was happening, to be an observer, as opposed to like attached to the experience, but to like really see what was happening and to just say, oh yeah, like this is what's gonna happen next. And I went through a gnarly withdrawal. But it was beautiful. It was so cool. It was the coolest experience to be on the floor in fetal position, crying out for help. And to know that, as it says right here, our capacity to reach out for the supportive fellowship within SLAA, these rooms saved my life. I came into program with no faith in a higher power. My understanding of God was like a coping mechanism for weak people, and like did not want to have anything to do with that. And I was my own damn God, and I lived by the principle that I could control my entire existence and how I wanted my life to look. And that is still a character defect that my higher power has continued to let me live with, because I'm humbled by that every day. So I will just say that this experience has been the most painful and the most rewarding. Recovery is truly a miracle. I'm living a life that I never even wanted. I'm living a life that I saw other people living and was judgmental of. Because I didn't believe them. I didn't think that that was actually happiness or fulfillment or contentment. It looked boring. And I was very wrong about that. And today in recovery, when I'm wrong about something, I celebrate it. I celebrate being wrong. Because my recovery has taught me that if I think I'm right, that's self-will. If I think I'm right about something, it's because I haven't asked God first. This program is actually very simple. I am a complicated person. I have the cash and prizes now as a result of working the steps, but being married to someone and deciding to create life with them and share a life with them does not change who I am. I am still someone with very distorted thinking and delayed feeling, and I still have a laundry list of character defects that, as I mentioned already, my higher power has let me keep. Some things have been removed. Some things feel a lot easier to cope with. And I am in, at this point, no danger of blowing up my life. I am happy. I feel supported and loved and held, not just by the person that I've married, but by my community and my friends and family and the fellowship and my higher power. Like, I'm safe. But I'm still an addict. And so when I talk about character defects, I talk about just the disruption that I experience on a daily basis because of character defects. Not because I think that they're going to intercept and create massive chaos that throws me back into a bottom in a withdrawal where I'm on the floor again. It's mostly just like, wow, my character defects just like caused like discomfort and chaos. And then I have to make amends. And, you know, the reality is that step 10 is like the guiding light for me. It's like my compass, like my North Star. At the end of the day, I have an opportunity at the end of every day to just sit down and look at my day and say, where did I feel fear here? Where was I resentful? Where did that resentment then turn into me behaving badly or having just like really unnecessary thoughts? Do I need to make an amends for any of that? What can I do better tomorrow? What are my tools? What haven't I been using lately? Like, I've got so many tools as a result of this program. Thanks, Herd. And like that's the reality today, is that even though my life is big and beautiful and abundant, it's not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and thank God for that, because I have an opportunity every day to be better. And like that, I really think that what, you know, I try to explain to newcomers who I have the opportunity and the privilege of talking to is that it's not gonna be perfect, but it is going to be better. And we will have the opportunity to live a different life, but you have to let the former self die. And I will say that I continue to experience death. I have had many deaths in this program. Death of ego over and over and over again. I am experiencing a death while creating life, and even in this moment. I expect that there will be plenty more of that, and that's why I'm never not going to be in these rooms, because I'm not cured. There is no cure. There's no finish line. I'm in full acceptance that I'm going to continue to be challenged by myself and by the world. And these rooms just give me the tools and the support to carry on with grace and dignity, which is all I care about at this point in life, is being a woman of dignity. Even now, like, she's like, yeah, girl. So I do appreciate being here. I look forward to everyone's shares. And thanks for letting me participate in my own recovery today. now come to the sharing portion.